Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Joining us once again is Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. Dan, welcome back to the sunny side of sports.
Hi, Sonny. Thanks for having me back.
Dan, the sound of play ball being heard at ballparks all across the United States and Canada. Major League Baseball has officially begun a new season. Which team should we look out for in 2016?
Well, let's take a second and look back at last year's World Series. We saw the New York Mets make a pretty impressive playoff run through the National League, winning the National League East, getting into the playoffs, and defeating the Chicago Cubs to make it to the World Series. Everybody was thinking that the Mets, with some good hitting and some really good young pitchers who were known for throwing the ball close to 100 miles per hour, were not going to have any trouble with the Kansas City Royals from the American League. But the Royals were an experienced team based on their playoff run the year before, where they lost the World Series to the San Francisco Giants. The Royals were able to take advantage of that experience and beat the Mets to win the World Series for the first time in 30 years.
Wow, okay.
So there's no doubt that those two teams are going to be good again this year, but there's a handful of other teams out there who will be pushing them for a chance to make the playoffs and make it into the World Series.
Arguably the most famous sports franchise in the world, the New York Yankees, traditional power, the Los Angeles Dodgers, Boston Red Sox, San Francisco Giants, Chicago Cubs, historically famous clubs, Dan. Any of those you think will be back in the playoffs?
So I was doing a little bit of research today, and I was looking at some projections by USA Today. And USA Today had a story that said, if we were going to put all of our data together here before the season even starts or in the first week of the season, this is our projection for how things are going to shake out at the end of the year in early October. They think the Boston Red Sox are going to make a big comeback from last year and win the American League East. The Royals should be in the mix in the American League Central, going up against teams like the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago White Sox. Last year's team that maybe was a Cinderella team, which means a team that people didn't know so much about, but went on a run and got a lot of fans who were just paying attention to them for the playoffs. That was the Houston Astros. The Astros are expected to have a good year again. And in the National League, we have some of these historically strong teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. The St. Louis Cardinals, all of those teams are expected to be in the mix. The Chicago Cubs are everybody's lovable losers. The Cubs have gone years and years and years without making it into the World Series. They almost made it last year, losing in the National League Championship Series to the Mets. This could be their year. USA Today thinks that they will have the most wins in baseball, 101 wins out of a 162-game season.
Dan, what about celebrations on the field? I know there's been some controversy in recent seasons about particular players perhaps maybe over-celebrating in questionable fashion. Is the league changing its ways in regards to those boisterous demonstrations on the field?
Baseball is the oldest sport in the United States. It came out of some of the sports that were imported by the settlers from Europe. And there's some argument about when the first baseball game happened, but it definitely was before the year 1900. So there are all of these things that happen in baseball that we call unwritten rules. So you have written rules, which say things like, if you swing and miss at a pitch three times, you're out, and you have to go back to the dugout, and another batter comes up. If you're the pitcher and you throw four pitches that are out of the strike zone, the batter gets to go first base. So those things are written down. There are a lot of things that aren't written down that have just been kind of passed on from player to player over the years. And one of these things is if you hit a home run, which means you hit the ball a long distance, like 350 or 380 or 400 feet over the fence, it's one of the most exciting plays in baseball. You hit the ball, you run around the bases, you don't make a big deal out of it. But some of these younger players in baseball, they're having fun out there and they want to celebrate these big successes that they have. So one of those players is a young player from the Washington Nationals. His name is Bryce Harper. He's one of the most popular players in baseball. He was the National League Most Valuable Player last year. He's known for his fashionable looks.
Changing hairstyles.
Off the field, his fashionable looks, his hairstyles, and his exuberance on the field. And we talked about this before the Super Bowl with Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers, who got a lot of criticism for the way he celebrated big plays in football. So there was a conversation that Harper had with the writer from the ESPN magazine earlier this year where he said that he thinks players, if I strike out, if I'm the batter and I strike out, the pitcher should be able to celebrate that he struck me out. If I come back up to the plate and I hit a home run, I should be able to celebrate. But in the old days, players didn't do that. So Harper and a young Cuban pitcher, his name is Jose Fernandez, he's a great example, Harper said. He'll strike you out and stare you down and pump his fist. These younger players, the millennial players, we talk about the millennials a lot. These younger players are putting their stamp on the game, and they're saying, go ahead and celebrate. If I do something great, I'm going to celebrate. If you do something great, you're going to celebrate. That's okay with me. And we'll go back and forth over the course of the season, and we'll have a good time with it. And we're not going to hurt each other's feelings. We're just going to make this part of the game. So we'll see how that goes this year, because there's still enough players left from the previous generations, players who are in their middle to late 30s that are playing the game, along with these players who are in their early 20s. So I expect there will be some clashes this year, and we'll see how that all shakes out.
And in terms of those clashes, Dan, I know some of the really old Major League players, if you perhaps danced around the bases when you hit a home run, the next time up you might get a pitch thrown at your head or maybe even in your ribs.
So that's one of the things about baseball that's interesting, is that the pitcher who has to initiate the play, he has a weapon in his hands. He can throw that ball 100 miles per hour. And if he decides to aim for your head, you might really get hurt. You might miss the rest of the season. So I think that the young players have a good idea about this. They're thinking about not taking these celebrations so seriously that you might injure somebody for the rest of their career.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. And Dan will be back later this week to chat with me about the new Major League Baseball season. Our friend in Rio de Janeiro, Luis Piazzet, joins us again this evening with an Olympic report on a Brazilian basketball great. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. I will start today asking you and our listeners if you remember this.
Welcoming Oscar to the Hall of Fame is Larry Bird. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Schmidt.
This was in 2013, and this weekend past, we had the great honor and privilege to speak over the phone with Oscar Schmidt, who among so many distinguished marks in his three decades of basketball, including 20 years playing the Brazilian national team, he played 5 Olympics, being the top scorer in the history of the games, 1,093 points. Plus, there isn't anyone else who has scored more points in a single Olympic game. It was 55 points against Spain in 1988 Seoul Olympics, when Oscar broke 10 Olympic records and the American team took home only a bronze medal. Not coincidence that the year before, in Indianapolis, Oscar helped Brazil to win the Pan American Games against United States. The first time in history U.S. lost in its own soil, and that plus the Seoul bronze next year would change the American basketball forever. Professionals replaced amateurs in the game. From the top of his 6'9" and heavy weight of experience in sports, we want to know his opinion about the preparation for the Olympics in Rio. In our country with so many problems to solve, apart from the games itself and all the obstacles we have been facing to host such a major event. A bold question. And we got back instantaneously one word, disappointment. But on the same token, Oscar elaborated that Brazil has this thing of overcoming bad times with dedication, creativity and joy. It will be a great Olympic Games, he highlighted. Specifically about the basketball in the Olympics, according to Oscar, the Brazilian team will win a medal. No doubt, Brazil will be on the podium. We asked Oscar about the American team, since many top players may not come to Rio de Janeiro. We know of at least three have dropped out, like Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, and Kobe Bryant. And Oscar interrupted us with a sounding, no, no, no. U.S. have at least three players to replace anyone who will drop. We need to watch them. They are coming for their fourth golden role, Oscar reminded us. Then, take for a grant the contagious good spirit of Oscar in the conversation, we had to throw in a joke challenge. Stephen Curry is coming with his outstanding long-range shooting. Oscar, what do you say about him? Do you think you could beat Curry in a three-point shooting contest? Stephen Curry is great, said Oscar. The best today, I think, and surely he practiced a lot to do what he is doing. Now, of course, it could be a hard game for me, but I can. Just give me a chance to train a week or so, said Oscar, smiling away. In the meantime, not far away from the future, the Terminator Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in Rio de Janeiro for the Arnold Classic Brazil bodybuilding competition. So he took the chance to speak with the press and fight the pessimists about the Olympic Games in Rio.
To say good luck, you're going to have great Olympics, I know that for sure. So good luck with everything, okay?
I'll be back.
I am Luis Piazet for the Sony Side of Sports.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More basketball news now on the Voice of America. The field is set for the men's and women's finals in the National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I tournaments. Ladies first, the Huskies of Connecticut will go after an unprecedented fourth consecutive national title and record-extending 11th trophy Tuesday night when they play the Orange of Syracuse in Indianapolis, Indiana. In the men's final later Monday night, the Tar Heels of North Carolina will take on the Wildcats of Villanova. North Carolina is bidding for its sixth national crown, while Villanova is going after its second. Our African football guru, David Legg, has been going group by group, looking back at the recent 2017 Nations Cup qualifying action across the continent. This evening, David turns his attention to Group J.
Well, here, Sonny, we've had some truly amazing results. If we go back to the match day 3-1, it was Algeria 7, Ethiopia 1, and Algeria also missed a penalty in that game. And now in the return match, it's Ethiopia 3, Algeria 3. And the Ethiopians led three times in Addis Ababa. And to the credit of the North African Desert Foxes, the three times they came back to equalize, with the last one, a penalty from Ghulam after 85 minutes. Algeria are looking good in this group, Sonny, with 10 points. Ethiopia have got 5. Seychelles have got 4. And Lesotho have got 3.
And David, looking at the table, the Algerians by far the highest scoring attack in this competition.
Yes, Sonny. I mean, when you miss a penalty and you still win 7-1, you know that you've got a powerful attack. I guess one of the biggest surprises of those 7 goal scorers in that match in Blida was that Mahrez, the star for Leicester City this season, he didn't feature among the goals there. 2 came from Fagouli, 2 from Slimani, and then there was 1 each from Brahimi, Taider, and Chezal. I think, Sonny, not only are Algeria going to qualify, but they're certainly going to be up there among the favorites in 2017 in Gabon.
Let's turn to Group K now, David. And how about the results?
The results there, Sonny, Niger 1, Senegal 2, and Namibia 1, Burundi 3. And Senegal, with 12 points from their 4 games, share with Morocco the record of being perfect so far in the qualifying competition. They're the only 2 sides with 100% records. And the Senegalese, very much in their own way, keeping under the radar, are cruising to the finals. Although they're not officially there yet, Sonny, Burundi have got 6 points. So the Senegalese have to get 1 point more from the remaining 2 games. One is away to Burundi, the other is at home to Namibia, to be certain of making it. Their goals came from Kanati and Soare in Niamey, and Adebayo, not Emmanuel, but Victorian Adebayo, he pulled one back for the Nigerians in the second half. But this is a group that essentially is over, Sonny. Senegal well on top, and it really is a fight between Burundi, Namibia, and Niger as to who will finish second.
In Group L, David, I know our many Voice of America listeners in Zimbabwe have to be quite happy with the way this table is looking. How about the results?
Yes, Sonny, Zimbabwe 4, Swaziland 0, and Malawi 1, Guinea 2. Now, the only disappointment for the Zimbabweans is that result from Blantyre, because the Zimbabweans would have been hoping for a draw there. But Guinea, by winning, they've kept their hopes alive. But nevertheless, if you look at the table, Zimbabwe have got 8 points, Swaziland and Guinea 5 each, and Malawi are out of the running with just 2. Zimbabwe were hoping that their home match in June against Malawi would mean that a victory would qualify them for the finals. But it won't, Sonny, if Guinea can also win in Swaziland at the same time. And then there could be problems for the Zimbabweans, because in the final round of games in September, Guinea will host Zimbabwe, and then it could come down to head-to-head. Zimbabwe, I watched their game against Swaziland, Sonny, and after a pretty even first half, the Zimbabwean Warriors were truly impressive. They scored 4 goals. Masona converted a penalty. Costa headed in at the far post to make it 2-0. And then Rasiki and Biliat, 2 South African-based players who came on as second-half substitutes, they scored in the closing stages. And Swaziland, if they'd stayed on the pitch another 10 minutes, it could have been 7 or even 8. This was not, though, a record win for Zimbabwe in the competition. That came in the 2002 qualifier when the Zimbabweans beat the Seychelles by 5 goals to 0. So you would have to say, Sonny, advantage Zimbabwe, but this group is far from over. The crucial issue now is, can Guinea win in Swaziland? If they do, then it's going to go down to the wire.
Finally, David, we have Group M, and how about the results there?
No goals, Sonny. Gambia 0, Mauritania 0, South Africa 0, Cameroon 0. And what that means is Cameroon have got 8 points, Mauritania 7, South Africa 3, and Gambia 2. And who could believe it? Bafana Bafana, former champions of Africa, 3rd in the group. And at this stage, it certainly looks like either Cameroon or Mauritania will win the group, and whoever doesn't win it will finish second. The South Africans, in 4 matches, they have failed to win, 3 draws and 1 loss, and that away loss to Mauritania on match day 2, really, looking back now, put pay to their chances of making it. Mathematically, the South Africans have still got the slenderest of chances, but it ain't going to happen. Cameroon fell behind twice when the sides met in Limbe in Cameroon, but on each occasion, they equalized for a 2-2 draw. And the return match, Sonny, I mentioned earlier that the Mozambique-Ghana game was sleep-inducing. Well, this South Africa-Cameroon game in Durban was not much better. Very few chances. South Africans far too slow and predictable in their build-ups. Cameroon,
They knew a draw would suit them fine, and that's exactly what they achieved. They were quite happy to sit back and soak up the pressure. To look at the situation, Sonny, Nigeria definitely out of the competition, and I think it's only a matter of time now before South Africa joined them on the scrap heap.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, good to have you back. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, as you mentioned earlier in the show, the NCAA men's and women's tournaments, the men play this evening, the women play tomorrow. And so you have Villanova versus the Tar Heels, and you have a lot of hashtags, a lot of trash talking on social media, as one would expect. Hashtag, you know, Tar Heel Nation, hashtag Beat Nova for UNC. And then for Villanova, you have hashtag Nova Nation that a lot of people are using. And I also saw somebody tweet out a shirt that says party like it's 1985, because that was the last year, 1985. Villanova not only won the tournament, but they won the tournament as an 8 seed, which is to this day remains the lowest seed to ever win the NCAA tournament.
And
so
they beat,
they're hoping.
Didn't they beat the school located right here in Washington?
They did. They beat Georgetown in the final, and they beat UNC in the Final Four. So interesting in the Elite Eight, actually, they beat UNC. But interesting parallel there. Maybe they'll have some luck tonight, and certainly their fans are on social media.
And, Andrew, I understand Villanova is coming off a record win in the semifinals.
That was all the talk on Saturday night during the Final Four matchups. The first one between Oklahoma and Villanova. Villanova blew them out, won by 44 points, which is the biggest margin of victory in a Final Four ever. So lots of social media conversation about that. It almost kind of eclipsed the UNC-Syracuse game. people were still talking about how Oklahoma, especially Buddy Hield, as we've talked about, an amazing player, how Oklahoma just got blown out. And I think after that game, certainly on social media, Villanova immediately became the favorite to win and beat UNC. We'll see if that comes to fruition.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
As we have the NCAA basketball wrapping up, we have the beginning of Major League Baseball, of course, opening day happening today. So you're seeing lots of excitement. There's actually an MLB campaign, which I thought was pretty cool, hashtag caps on. And so you put your cap on and you take a picture and you tweet it out and you say, my cap's on for whatever team that I'm supporting.
Show your allegiance.
Show your allegiance. My cap was on last night for my New York Mets. Unfortunately, they lost to the Kansas City Royals. Now, that is another thing that a lot of people on social media are talking about. By complete coincidence, the first Sunday night game of the baseball season is between the Mets and the Royals, the two teams that were in the World Series last year. Complete coincidence. They scheduled this well before the World Series, before the playoffs started, and said just so happened that these are the two teams. So it was a bit of a rematch. Unfortunately, the Mets lost, but we got 161 more games to go.
It's a long season.
It's a long season yet. But at the start of that game last night, a Sunday night game, they had another integration of social media. The Flo Rida song, My House, which has kind of become the theme, I guess, for MLB this year. They had clips of fans singing along and kind of lip-syncing the song in their different MLB gear that they submitted via social media. So they kind of plucked those from social media and incorporated those in the intro for this game. So that was a pretty cool way to integrate some of the fans and get them some airtime and show that they're appreciating their support.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And Andrew, I imagine that hashtag MLB getting a lot of use today.
Absolutely. Hashtag MLB opening day. And then as we go into this evening, hashtag NCAA championship.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the April 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Rob McLean, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Education improves the lives of both boys and girls and promotes development. But too often, girls are denied the opportunity to learn, and in many countries, they are still subject to practices that harm them. Today, worldwide, some 60 million girls do not attend school. Equitable treatment of women and girls is a fundamental core value of the administration of President Barack Obama. Under President Obama, the United States government has introduced a number of programs and initiatives to help women rise. Programs such as Tech Women, Equal Futures Partnership, We Americas, PEPFAR Dreams Initiative, and Let Girls Learn. In mid-March, Secretary of State John Kerry announced the U.S. Global Strategy to Empower Adolescent Girls Initiative. The initiative focuses on three important areas, said Secretary of State Kerry.
First, we're going to work to promote laws and policies abroad that empower adolescent girls and protect their rights. One of the most effective ways to meet this girl is to make certain that every single young woman has the ability to go to school and to receive a quality education in a safe environment.
Second, he said, we will work toward ending early and forced marriage, a practice that too often prevents girls from developing their social and economic potential. And finally, we will collaborate with government officials, NGOs, and community and religious leaders in order to end female genital mutilation, a practice that has no health benefit and no centrality to any religion. We want to build on all of the steps that have been taken thus far in order to intensify our efforts to empower young women at the pivotal stage between childhood and maturity, said Secretary of State Kerry. The secretary also announced $47 million for initiatives that will improve the lives and futures of adolescent girls by focusing on health, education, and ending harmful practices. Girls can have that better life, and they should be given every opportunity to pursue it and to make their own choices about their own future, he said. The United States is going to do everything in our power to make certain that we can translate this all-important but simple promise into a reality. And that is a fight worth fighting.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Next on Let's Talk. Technology, does it affect education? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing technology's impact on education. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modu talks about autism, still an ailment with no known specific cause and no known cure yet. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.